5, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And we do count it a great privilege to be able to come back each and every week at this same time and bring the radio broadcast. We always take just a moment and invite you to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. You would get to Baird's Creek from the Highway 105 south side of Boone, which is heading out of Boone towards Fosco. Now, you don't go all the way to Fosco, but I think from the red light up there where you have New River Building Supply, I think it's 2 miles down to Baird's Creek Road. And so just go down there, turn right 1 mile, and you will be at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m. for all ages, and then we have our 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service. We have more information available on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. And we have archived radio on there. And so if you missed a week and you'd like to hear what we said last week, you can go on there and listen to last week's radio broadcast or last year's or 5 years ago. It goes back a long way. So lots of data on there, I guess. I don't know how you'd put that. But anyway, we're glad to be here today. Noah's with us. How's your day?
Going well. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina. Welcome to our listeners on WZAP AM 690 out of Bristol, Virginia. And we do want to say welcome to those listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I mentioned this last week. I'm going to mention it a few more times, and that is those that may be interested in studying along with us at the Victory Bible Institute. The Victory Bible Institute has been in existence now for over 26 years, and there's a lot of young preachers, old preachers, preachers' wives, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, and just people that wanted to further their knowledge in God's Word has been able to go along with us and study along with us at the Victory Bible Institute. And that is located in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. This is a opportunity to get a 3-year bachelor's degree in your religious studies. There are 4 ways to study along. 1, you can attend in person on Thursday nights. Also, you can take correspondence, or you can take internet, or we have some satellite schools that you could attend in different places. The fall semester starts on August the 10th, and if you would like more information, if you could look up on the website VV, as in Victory, B as in Baptist, and C as in church, vbcministries.org, and you can find out all the information you need on there. We have this fall semester coming up, New Testament Survey Part 1. The Book of Romans will be taught, and the Kingdom of the Cults, and that's the class that I teach. And so that'll be here before you know it. I'll tell you, time flies. And so we appreciate your interest there. If you know somebody that might be interested, if you would let them know, that would be a great blessing. And so we're going to go on with our study. We're studying the subject of war, and this is part number 6, I believe. We've been studying this now, looking at it. It's a little bit different. Think about the subject of war. You know, at first thought, we might say, well, that's a pretty bad subject. But if you really look at it, and we've been looking at what the Bible says about it, but our Blessings of Liberty, and this radio broadcast is called the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and that's from the preamble to the Constitution. Our Blessings of Liberty that we enjoy are actually a result of war, the American Revolutionary War. And so as bad as war is, and when nations go to war, there's loss of life, there's loss of income, there's loss of property, there's loss of business, and on and on and on we could go. But sometimes, and we really looked at that last week, sometimes war is necessary. Sometimes more war is necessary to end war. And we looked at that. We're not trying to glorify war or encourage war in any way, but just trying to give a biblical context. I have noticed in my life that when I look at something through not my eyes or the eyes of the news or the eyes of secular thinking, but when I begin to study any subject through the eyes of God's Word, and I put whatever that subject is into a biblical context, it helps me see that subject more clear than I ever have before. And it gives me a different perspective, not a human perspective, but a divine perspective. Just to ask the question, what does the Bible say about it? That's what is really important, and that's what matters. It's sort of looking at something through a telescope or a microscope or a set of binoculars, and you begin to turn the knob and fine-tune the image there, and what at one time was real fuzzy, it begins to clear up and it begins to make sense. And that's what the Word of God does for us. The Word of God is light, and the Word of God brings understanding to whatever subject that it speaks upon. Now, so far, we started in Genesis chapter number 14, the first time war is mentioned in the Bible, and we actually called that the war chapter. And there's a lot of things that are mentioned in chapter 14 for the first time in the Bible. War, enemies, captives, several things. And then last week, we looked at the last two times the word war is mentioned in the Bible, and that's in Revelation chapter number 19. Now, it's very interesting that the first war and the last war begins in the same basic geographical place. Genesis chapter 14 and Revelation chapter 19 takes place in the Middle East. And the first war and the last war involves the same people, not literally, but the same groups of people, we might say. What we find in Genesis chapter number 14 and Revelation chapter number 19, we see the Gentile nations surround the nation of Israel. And in Genesis chapter number 14, we have Abraham there, from whom the nation of Israel sprang. And I don't know if I use the correct English there, but that's where Israel come from. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And so his offspring there, his children. And so we have the Gentile nations surrounding Israel in the first and the last. And the first war was followed by endless wars. And after the last war in Revelation chapter number 19, there will be war no more. And we studied that last week, Isaiah chapter 2. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." And so we see that there's coming a day upon this earth where nations will no longer fight. People in the world will not even learn war anymore. Can you imagine a nation without an army? Can you imagine a nation without a defense? Well, when the Messiah reigns, when the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns upon the earth, nations will cease going to war with each other. Now today, what we're going to begin to do, we're going to begin to look in the book of Daniel. So we've started at the beginning, we went to the end. We're going to go fairly close, not exactly, but sort of in the middle there. And we're going to look at the book of Daniel. And the more you look at, the more I study history and I study prophecy in the Bible, then the events of World War I, World War II, and even what is going on today in the world, especially with Europe, Islam, and we hear about that every day in the news, and then the nation of Israel and the events in the Middle East and Syria. The more we study history, and then we look at the Bible and we see what it says prophetically speaking, these things, these events, they, like I was talking a moment ago, they begin to come into clearer focus than they ever have been before. Now, we've already mentioned this a few weeks ago, but we talked about the end of World War I. What happened the end of World War I concerning the nation of Israel? On December the 10th, 1917, Jerusalem fell into the hands of British forces. And up to that time, it had been under the control of the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, the Muslims. But on December the 10th, 1917, Jerusalem fell into the hands of the British forces. Now, it's interesting. That's going to be a 100-year anniversary coming up this December. So about 6 months from now, right around in there, it'll be 100 years that Israel fell into the hands of Britain, and that was a very significant event, prophetically speaking. And as we really study that out and look at it, and we look at the last 2,000 years of prophetic history, it's almost like that the prophetic clock had stopped after the fall of Jerusalem. The fall of Jerusalem took place in AD 70. And then it seems like there was a pause, a stop, as far as the nation of Israel was concerned. And also concerning all of prophecy, because a lot of prophecy centers around the nation of Israel. And so it's almost like, as we look back on it, like the clock stopped when Jerusalem was destroyed and the Jews were dispersed throughout all the earth. But then, since then, it's like that prophetic clock has started ticking again. In fact, if you study church history, you will find there's about 1,890-some years there. I'm generalizing pretty much, but there's a long time where Christians in general are not very concerned with prophecy. But then you go back to the late 1800s, the early 1900s, and all of a sudden there's a huge revival of interest in prophecy, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. And it's almost like for all those generations, all those centuries, that interest was just dormant. But then there's a great interest once again when God began to work in the affairs of the nation of Israel and birth them into a modern state. Christians began to be aware of and concerned. And there's a lot we could say about that, the rise of Zionism. We're not going to get into that today. But it's almost like that prophetic clock began to tick again events that took place in World War I. Now, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter number 2, I'm going to read some verses today. But two things happen in Daniel chapter number 2. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. No, and he wanted somebody to interpret it. Well, I'm not going to get into all of that, but Daniel is the one that interprets his dream. He not only interprets the dream, but he tells the king what he dreamed. And anybody could make a stab at an interpretation, but the king came along and he said, I had a dream and it troubled me, and I want somebody to interpret it and tell me what it meant. And they said, what did you dream? And he said, well, I can't remember. Well, Daniel told him what he dreamed, and then he told him what it meant. And so first of all, we're going to read in Daniel chapter number 2, where Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar what he had dreamed. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 31. And I'm going to read down through verse number 35. He said, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in that dream there was this great image. And we read there in those verses, the king saw the image, the head of gold, the breast and arms of silver and brass, and legs of iron and toes, part of clay and part of iron. And he also saw a stone that was cut out of a mountain, not made with hands. And this stone smote the image and broke it into pieces, and it was carried away with the wind. That is a picture of the Messiah, that stone not made with hands. In fact, we sing a song in church, and the title of it is Not Made with Hands. And that's that little phrase comes from the book of Daniel. And so Daniel told the king what he dreamed. Then Daniel interpreted that dream. And so we go on down to verse number 38, and the Bible said, "And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all." And then he begins to interpret that dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, "Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be any of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." And so Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, "The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter." And each part of this image represents a different kingdom. The head of gold, Babylon, the chest, the arms, silver, brass. If you study world history, there was the Babylonian Empire. It fell and was taken over by the Medo-Persian Empire, which fell and was taken over by the Grecian Empire, the Empire of Greece. And then, after the Empire of Greece, arose the Roman Empire. The feet of iron, or the legs of iron, and the feet, part of iron, part of clay, represents the Roman Empire. And what we're concerned with in our study of war, and what we've been talking about as we study history in World War I and World War II, I'm interested in that last empire, that Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire grew, and the Roman Empire filled all of the known world. Maybe you remember studying in school about the Roman Empire, and they said about the Roman Empire, all roads lead to Rome. At the time of Christ walking upon the earth, it was the Roman Empire that was ruling upon the earth. It was the Roman authorities that condemned Christ to the cross. Herod and Pilate were Romans. We read about the Roman soldiers, the Roman court system. The Jews were under the authority of the Roman Empire. The gospel later on was carried to three different continents on roads that were built by the Romans. If you study your world history, the Romans were famous for their roads and for their bridges and for their ease of travel for that day. And the gospel was carried. This is irony, by the way. The gospel was carried on roads that the Romans built. Paul traveled these roads. It made it a whole lot easier to, of course, it wasn't an interstate by any means, but it made it a whole lot easier to get around. And the gospel was taken into not only Asia, but Africa and also Europe very early in the early church. Now, the Romans, under Titus, destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And in time, the Roman Empire, as it grew, it divided, and it talked there in Daniel chapter number 2 that this last kingdom would be divided, and the Roman Empire was divided into an eastern and a western, and that you see the feet, the legs, they're divided. You had the right and the left, and that still exists today, by the way, in the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church. That represented a division in the Roman Empire. And that division, you can still recognize that today. Now, the historical date for the fall of the Roman Empire is 476 A.D. And so the Roman Empire lasted, you know, right around 400 years after the destruction of Jerusalem. But in the book of Daniel, if we study the book of Daniel, and we're not going to go into great depth in studying this, but that image had 10 toes. And those 10 toes were part of iron and part of clay. A part of it was very strong, part of it was very weak. And he talked about that clay and iron does not mix together. So there's a brittleness to that. I couldn't even think of anything that's made out of iron and made out of clay. It says there in the Bible that the two do not cling together. They do not mix together. And we recognize that even today. So in those 10 toes, there was some strength and there was some great weakness. Now, all that study the prophecies of the Bible, and maybe you've heard about this and read about this, but those 10 toes represent a federation of kings or kingdoms that will be resurrected or revived in the last days. Now, Daniel talked about this in Daniel chapter number 7. In verses 7 and 8, he said, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns." Now, the 10 horns corresponds to the 10 toes. And I realize I'm going over a lot of things today, and it would take a good study to line all these things out. But these 10 toes and these 10 horns is talking about the same thing. He said, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn." This is a reference to the Antichrist, "before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." And so when we read there, what that is referring to is what Bible teachers, preachers, scholars have referred to down through the centuries as the revived Roman Empire. Now, to make a long story short, and I've already went into a great bit of information, I realize that. But if you study about the events of World War I, which we are right now at the 100-year anniversary of, World War I was started by nations comprising or made up of this revived Roman Empire, those ancient civilizations, that leftover that leftover remnant of empires and royal families and all of that stuff. Well, that's those same nations coming to life again and onto the world stage. Austria, Hungary, Italy, Russia, Germany, France, Britain. All of that was the beginnings of the revived Roman Empire. And this empire, the Bible tells us, will make war with the saints. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 21, "And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." Now, the saints that it's talking about there is not the church. It's talking about Israel. This empire will make war against Israel. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 26 lets us know it's talking about the nation of Israel. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood." And the people that destroyed the city and the sanctuary was the Roman Empire. "And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." And there's a great deal that we're covering there. I do realize that. But let me just throw this out quickly before we go off the air today. It is interesting historically that Hitler called Nazi Germany, he didn't call it Nazi Germany, Hitler called what he was doing and the empire that he ruled over, he called it the Third Reich. Now, have you ever noticed that? What is the Third Reich? The Third Reich, Reich in German, R-E-I-C-H, Reich in German means this. It means realm of the king. And in the German language, it refers to empires and kingdoms. And Hitler believed this. Hitler believed that he was the head over the Third Kingdom. Greece being the first, Rome being the second, and the empire that he sought to rule over was the Third Empire, the revived Roman Empire. That's what he believed that he was ruling over. And if you study about Hitler, he was fascinated with Greek and Roman culture, relics. He was fascinated with Alexander the Great. He believed the Aryan race, which would be descendants of the Grecian people, the white skin, fair skin, blue eyes, was a superior race. Just say this before we go off the air. World War I gave us the League of Nations, the United Nations, what we have today in the European Union. What we have in World War I is the beginnings of that revived Roman Empire, setting the stage for the last war to come upon the earth. That's a lot of information today. I appreciate you listening. Our time is quickly coming gone. Hope you'll listen in next time. Have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. As MTLEBANONBC.org.